Sports Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. Ghana's new World Boxing Organization super bantamweight champion, Isaac Dogbe, has received a hero's welcome in the capital, Accra, after winning the title 4 days ago here in the USA. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, was on hand for Dogbe's celebratory homecoming.
The new WBO super bantamweight champion, Isaac Dogbe, last night arrived in Accra after defeating Jesse Madaleno by a knockout in Philadelphia. Many Ghanaians were at the airport with brass band music and dancing to give the new champion a hero's welcome. Boxing supporters dressed in the national colors chanted the name Dogbe and followed the 23-year-old boxer who made history as the youngest Ghanaian to have won a world title. Dogbe addressed the jubilant crowd and the media.
It was a great night of boxing. Like I keep saying, the battle belongs to the Lord, and it was a great victory. I keep saying that the voice of the people, that is the voice of God. The nation, God heard their voice. You know, they heard their prayers, and he delivered. I'm lost for words. All I can say is, let's give glory to God. Let's all celebrate. Ghana has a new world champion. From now on, we believe that the drought is over. And from now onwards, I believe that if all the athletes continue to work hard, they are also going to bring something home. We've paved the way. It's such a blessing for the support that we receive from the people of Ghana. It can only get better.
That was the new WBO super bantamweight champion, Isaac Dogbe. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. 23-year-old Isaac Dogbe got a hero's welcome in Accra after becoming Ghana's youngest ever world boxing champion, and he also gets a Sunny Side of Sports salute. Dogbe says he looks forward to unifying the super bantamweight division. Like more than a few other divisions in professional boxing, it has several champions. American Daniel Roman, a.k.a. the baby-faced assassin, is the WBA super bantamweight champion. The Mexican Ray Vargas is the WBC super bantamweight champion. And Japan's Ryosuke Iwasa is the IBF super bantamweight champion. So, I think Isaac Dogbe has more than a few opponents he can line up for future fights. In European club football, the big match on this Wednesday evening is taking place in the Italian capital, Rome. That's where AS Roma is hosting the English club Liverpool in the decisive second leg of their UEFA Champions League semi-final. The winner will take on reigning title holder Real Madrid in the Champions League final on May 26th in Kiev, Ukraine. Real advanced Tuesday with a 2-2 draw against visiting Bayern Munich, going through on a 4-3 aggregate. Now, Roma is trying to do what it did against Barcelona in the quarterfinals, rally from a 3-goal deficit after losing to Liverpool in England last week 5-2. Liverpool's German manager, Jurgen Klopp, says his club is well aware of Roma's comeback ability.
Rome was more ready than Barcelona. Barcelona thought probably, we have to ask them, that it's decided. Us, everybody's telling us that quite difficult and it's possible. Nobody told Barcelona it's possible to beat you 3-0 or 4-0 or whatever. Nobody told them. So, because nobody could imagine that it can happen. But it happened. So if a warning was needed, I didn't need a warning. But if the warning was needed, then there's the warning. That's how it is.
Liverpool is a five-time European champion, with its last title coming in 2005. Jurgen Klopp says his squad is highly motivated to make that trip to Kiev later this month with a chance to lift another trophy.
We deserve to be here. And if you have the result we need, whatever it will be, we deserve to be in the final. If not, then Rome has a very good campaign as well. If they can get a result which brings them to the final, then they deserve it. That's part of the game. But we are here to fight for our dreams. That's how it is. And we want to go to the final, how you can imagine.
As you can imagine, the Roma defenders will have their eyes on Mohamed Salah this Wednesday evening in Rome. The 2017 African Footballer of the Year from Egypt has had a dazzling debut season with Liverpool. Salah has scored 43 goals in all competitions this season, including two goals against Roma last week in the first leg of the UEFA Champions League semi-final. At the pre-game news conference in Rome, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp talked about Mo Salah's development.
He's matured. He got the confidence here. He came from Chelsea to Florence, played a good season, not as good as the season at Rome. And then he grew up. He's now the player he is now. And we are the lucky guys who have him now in the team. That's how it is. It's not that I would have explained him exactly how to score goals. He knew that before already.
That's Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp talking about his 25-year-old Egyptian star, Mohamed Salah. Liverpool is playing host AS Roma this Wednesday evening in the decisive second leg of a UEFA Champions League semifinal. The winner will take on reigning title holder Real Madrid May 26th in the Champions League final in Kiev, Ukraine. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Ethiopian Football Federation has suspended all matches in its Premier League after a referee was attacked by players during a match. The violence occurred during a game between the military club Defense and Welwalo Adigrat University. The teams were level at 1-1 when the referee ruled the ball crossed the line and gave a goal to Defense. Several players on Welwalo Adigrat, upset with the decision, then chased after the referee. I watched a video of the incident, and the ref grabbed a corner flag to defend himself and then ran onto an athletics track circling the football pitch. A coach on Welwalo Adigrat then grabs the referee from behind. The ref falls to the track, and the coach then punches him. The coach reportedly has been fired, and we here at the Sunny Side of Sports certainly support that decision. Let's face it, calls don't always go your way in football and other sports, but you don't behave like that. Shame on the Welwalo Adigrat players, and especially shame on that coach. Ethiopian Football Federation officials are scheduled to meet with the Premier League's 16 clubs on Thursday after the violence and suspension of matches. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten will tell us about a bigger jackpot at the Wimbledon tennis tournament. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Keep counting them down, Ray McDonald. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Well, you might say Wimbledon tennis officials are counting up when it comes to prize money. Joining us now with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Wimbledon chief executive Richard Lewis and Philip Brooke, chairman of the All England Club, announced a total prize money increase for the tournament in 2018. Philip Brooke outlined the price hike at a news conference on Tuesday.
Total prize money this year will be £34 million, a healthy increase of 7.6% on 2017. Men's and ladies singles champions will each receive £2.25 million. That is an increase of £50,000 on last year, or 2.3%. And singles prize money for qualifying and for competitors in the first to the fourth rounds will increase by more than 10%.
In other words, the total money pot will jump to just over $46 million. Men's and women's singles champions will receive just over $3 million each. At the same news conference, Wimbledon chief executive Richard Lewis said the prize money increase ensures players will have the means to reach higher levels of tennis.
We've talked about the earlier rounds of the championships. We doubled the prize money in challenger events last year, and behind the scenes we've been, I'll use the word, lobbying. The fact that if players are not earning sufficient prize money to cover their expenses, if they are not of a sufficient standard to be likely to cover their expenses, if the tournaments aren't of a sufficient standard and profile to be able to pay any prize money that could possibly move them towards being professional, then we think that's entirely wrong. So I think we have been doing quite a bit on that path for several years.
Chairman Philip Brooke also addressed the issue of corruption in tennis, and he referred back to match-fixing speculations that surrounded the Australian Open in 2016.
Just before the start of the Australian Open, allegations were made in the media suggesting widespread match-fixing by players at the upper level of world tennis, and that tennis authorities acted to cover up breaches of integrity. In response, tennis rejected these allegations, but given the seriousness of the issues raised, it was felt there was a need for independent scrutiny, and so tennis commissioned an independent review. Tennis also agreed to implement the recommendations of the independent review and to fund them in full. Extensive interviews took place, a mountain of evidence was collected, and submissions were invited. We at the All England Club made our submission in December 2016, and it is available to be read on our website.
Richard Lewis and Philip Brooke also reiterated their support of a report issued by the Independent Review of Integrity in Tennis, or IRP. The review found no evidence of match fixing or other signs of corruption in the top levels of the sport.
If you look at our submission, you will see that what we, Wimbledon, said in December 2016 has stood the test of time. And we are pleased with the direction the IRP has taken us for the future with regard to integrity. It is important to emphasise once again the IRP has not found any evidence of corruption or cover-up amongst the governing bodies. The IRP has, however, identified a serious issue at the lower levels of the game and suggested recommendations to address this. And just as we have been to date, we will play an active role alongside the other six stakeholders of tennis to consult on and implement the IRP's recommendations.
And in a move to prevent the rash number of early retirements last year, the organizers issued a warning that players who compete while carrying an injury could face being docked of all their first-round prize money. Meanwhile, Nigeria is hosting the International Tennis Federation Futures Tournament in Abuja. The tournament gives players from around the world a chance to earn points to qualify for higher levels of competition. Over 30 players from 25 countries are participating in the event, and tennis player Michael Michael says the tournament gives players like him a chance to be seen by talent scouts.
The problem is really we don't have sponsorship here in Nigeria. I mean, like these guys that we played after this tournament, I think they have more than 10 tournaments to go and play. They travel around the world before coming to this place.
ITF Director Ikani Agabi says that along with bringing tennis players together, the three-week-long tournament also provides opportunities for non-athletes.
It's also a source of employment for a lot of people. The food vendors, the people selling drinks, the hotels, and all of that, because we then have a lot of foreigners coming in to spend money on basic items like food and drinks. And so the idea is to create employment, create awareness about the game of tennis, expose Nigerian players and provide opportunities for them to be better at the game.
F3 Futures competition is now happening until May 6th. Winners in each of the three tournaments receive $25,000 in prize money. Winners are also ranked among the world's top 500 players. Nigeria plans to organize 10 similar tournaments in the near future to give more athletes a chance to play and help raise the profile of tennis in the country. And that's all from me for now. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks for serving up that nice tennis package, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The National Basketball Association playoffs will resume later Wednesday night in Houston, Texas. That's where the Houston Rockets will host the Utah Jazz in Game 2 of their second-round playoff series. The Rockets won Game 1 in the best-of-seven series, 110-96. In playoff action Tuesday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the defending champion Golden State Warriors both posted victories. The Cavs edged the host Toronto Raptors 113-112 in overtime in the opening game of their second round series. And the Warriors beat the visiting New Orleans Pelicans 121-116 and now lead that second round series 2-0. Golden State's two-time league most valuable player, Stephen Curry, made a triumphant return from a knee injury and being sidelined 6 weeks. He came off the bench to score 28 points in 27 minutes. Hey, Steph, how did it feel to be back on the court?
It felt great. Real eager as of late, trying to get back out there and, you know, be with my teammates and, you know, do what I love to do. So to get back out there on the floor, play some playoff basketball, and you know, get a big win tonight, it was huge. It was a good feeling. The crowd was crazy, and obviously we did what we needed to do in these first two games, going up 2-0, and we got to have our game travel to New Orleans.
The New Orleans Pelicans will host Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors on Friday night in Game 3 of this second-round NBA playoff series. Once again, the defending champion Warriors lead 2-0. In Canada, as I mentioned, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers edged the host Toronto Raptors 113-112 in overtime in the opening game of their second-round series. LeBron had a triple-double, 26 points, 13 assists, and 11 rebounds. LeBron's shooting was a bit off, though. He missed 18 of the 30 shots he took in the game. LeBron admits it wasn't his best game, and he credits his teammates for their performances.
I definitely wasn't efficient as I like to be. I missed a lot of open looks, a lot of open threes that they were going under, you know, a lot of floaters in the lane. You know, because of the injury I had in game seven, I didn't get an opportunity to kind of get on the court this morning and yesterday as well. So, you know, but at the end of the day, only thing that matters is trying to get a win. And my teammates, they're unbelievable tonight. They stepped up when I wasn't wasn't at my best. I mean, they were phenomenal, man. Kev kind of struggled in the first half and Jeff picked him up. Kyle, you know, had his second half. Kev came back, had an unbelievable second half. You know, he's just a monster on the glass. JR was consistent all game with his ability to shoot the ball. You know, and Double T, once again, you know, he just left off, picked up right where he left off from game seven. You know, just being a monster that, you know, that we've grown accustomed to in the last few years on the glass and, you know, making us free throws and giving us extra possessions. So it was an all-around team win for us. You know, everybody contributed tonight, you know, and we definitely needed it.
That's Cleveland Cavaliers superstar LeBron James speaking in Toronto, Canada. And game two in that series between the Cavaliers and the Raptors will be played on Thursday night in Toronto, Canada. Once again, the Cavaliers lead 1-0 after that overtime victory. Also on Thursday night, the Boston Celtics will host the Philadelphia 76ers in game two of that second-round playoff series. The Celtics won the opener, so they have a 1-0 lead. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, those addresses, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle, at VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Mohamed Salah, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year, with his hand over his mouth. And that was taken during a training session before Liverpool goes up against AS Roma on Wednesday evening in the decisive second leg of their UEFA Champions League semifinal. The winner of that match will take on Real Madrid on May 26th in Kiev, Ukraine. And Salah has kind of an interesting look on his face in that photo, which was taken by Reuters photographer John Sibley. As I mentioned earlier, it's just been a dazzling, dazzling debut season for Mo Salah with the Reds of Liverpool. 43, count them, 43 goals in all competitions for Mo Salah. He's been racking up club records for Liverpool, winning awards. Gwen Uten on the show Tuesday talked about some of the recent awards that Mo Salah has won in this great season he's having with Liverpool. And I, for one, I'm really looking forward to see how mighty Mo Salah performs at the World Cup in Russia with the Pharaohs of Egypt. The Pharaohs playing in their first World Cup since 1990. And that wraps up the May 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The humanitarian crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo is one of the worst in the world. 13 million people in the DRC are in need of humanitarian assistance. At least 4.5 million have been displaced. More than 7 million face severe food insecurity, and 2 million children are at risk of starvation. Although the country is rich in natural resources, the causes for the catastrophic humanitarian situation are manifold, stemming from persistent insecurity driven by the activities of armed groups and ethnic tensions in several regions. The political impasse resulting from delayed elections has also undermined state authority and risks increased violence and unrest. While elections alone will not solve the DRC's many challenges, they are critical to ensuring a democratic and peaceful transition, averting violence, and strengthening democratization, stability, and economic development. International donors recently convened in Geneva for a United Nations conference aimed at helping to relieve the suffering of the Congolese people. The response was encouraging, with pledges offered of $528 million. UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Mark Lowcock said he was pleased with the progress made toward the $1.7 billion funding goal for the DRC. "And I'm even more pleased," he said, "that there are additional pledges that governments are working on." The United States is providing nearly $67 million in additional humanitarian assistance to provide food, shelter, health care, and other urgent aid for vulnerable Congolese and refugees. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert noted that the United States is the largest single donor supporting this humanitarian response. With the new announcement, she said, "We are providing nearly $277 million since fiscal year 2017 in critical assistance to the people in need in the DRC and for Congolese refugees in the region." Ms. Nauert urged more donors to provide resources to help those suffering in the DRC, and she called on the government there to take steps to address the underlying causes of insecurity that have given rise to the displacement and conflict that have fueled the humanitarian crises. She welcomed the pledges from the other donors at the Geneva conference, which, at $500 million, was on par with the entire amount raised in 2017. 8 countries more than doubled their support, she noted, and major pledges came in from the United States, the EU, the United Kingdom, Belgium, Sweden, and Canada. So we thank those countries for their assistance.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari meets with President Donald Trump at the White House on Monday, April 30th. We'll discuss their meeting and current U.S.-Africa relations on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.